You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, how many of you have already been out to see the new installment of the Star Wars movie? Anybody here already done that? I see a few hands around here, people getting started. It's hard to believe there's yet another Star Wars. It's even harder for me to believe. And I hate to say this, but folks, it was almost 40 years ago that we were standing in lines that wrapped around city blocks in order to buy a ticket to see the original Star Wars movie, which they now name number 4, you know, whatever George Lucas wants to do, George Lucas does. Well, you remember what a phenomenon it was back in 1977, don't you? Certainly unlike anything I had ever experienced going to the movies. To this day, I remember sitting in the darkened theater when all of a sudden that familiar fanfare, dum-da-da-dum-dum, you know, the John Williams music that filled the theater, and it just caught you in, you know, to see all those stars in front of you. Again, unlike anything you'd ever experienced. And that movie and that music, well, it just kept you engrossed with each unfolding scene. Now, I'm not sure that movie would have made the same impact without the musical score. I think it was really the music that put it up over the top. And that's the thing about a good soundtrack. It can capture our emotions in a way that images and words cannot. Think about it. Are there certain songs that you hear that evoke instant emotion and feeling just listening to the strains of the music and what it brings to your mind? Well, you see, I believe when, you know, the film, when the words and the music and the images all work together, it is absolutely magical. And I think sometimes, wouldn't it be fun if life had a soundtrack attached to it? What do you think your soundtrack would sound like? Well, I'm going to confess in front of you all that there have been times I've thought about that, especially when I have been traveling, visiting those cities that you've always dreamed of seeing, and you almost hear music going on in your head. No, I'm not crazy. I think some of us do that. For example, I'll think of the song I'll Take Manhattan when I've strolled in Central Park in New York City. Or I've got to say, I could hear in my mind was even humming to myself, Hail Britannia, the first time I saw Big Ben and the Parliament Building in London. Or you can even imagine the strains of a Strauss waltz when you're walking in the streets of Vienna. Now, I have to tell you, on the trip that Linda and I took to Vienna, we really did think we were going crazy. Because I opened the window, and I swear to you, I heard Strauss waltzes coming, emanating from the street. And I said to Linda, are you hearing this too? Just checking to make sure. And it was. And it turned out they were having a 10K run that day. And the hotel where we stayed was in the park right across from where the statue of Strauss is. And so they were piping Strauss waltzes over loudspeakers throughout the city there. So we weren't going crazy. So they had a soundtrack built right in. You know, there's a soundtrack built right in, you know, in Venice if you're riding a gondola, because the gondolieri, they'll provide the soundtrack for you. Well, I think that's what Mary thought. After that visit from the angel Gabriel, she needed a soundtrack. So what am I talking about? Well, we remember last week we were talking about that passage of the Bible that we call the Annunciation, when she received this visit from a messenger, an angel, who told her of some very strange circumstances and things that were going to happen to her that seemed so hard to believe. The message was clear. She was going to give birth to a baby who would be called the Son of God. That's a pretty heavy-duty announcement, don't you think? She probably was a little bit confused at first, and you could see that in some of her words, not knowing, you know, how can you say this? This doesn't make any sense. And the angel explained, and after this explanation, what we have in the gospel record is that Mary says, here I am. the Lord's servant. Here I am, the Lord's servant. Let it be with me according to your word. The gospel writer did not present a retiring, confused young woman having a meltdown. That would have been understandable, don't you think, given the circumstances of this? Instead, Mary was depicted as determined. She was determined to live out God's will. And her response to this was this poem. It was this song. It really is a song, the Magnificat. You see, what we have in the gospel here is a soundtrack to what was happening, the Magnificat. When she says, she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The gospel writer Luke, when recounting this tale, placed a special emphasis on this passage that we call the Magnificat. Now, the writer could have skipped it altogether. In fact, none of the other gospel writers make any emphasis or recount this, but Luke does. And this song tells of the amazing work of how God is transforming the world, how God is turning things upside down, how God is changing the order, and this will happen through Mary and through the birth of Jesus. Mary was quite up front in this song, saying that, "I'm not a powerful person. I'm a person of a lowly station," almost asking the question, how could this happen? How could this be? Yet God lifted her up, she said, and she would be called blessed. But if that weren't enough, Mary's song, when we sit down and take the time to look at it, and if you look in your worship guides, you'll see the text of the Magnificat there today. Mary's song sets the agenda for what is going to happen because Jesus is going to be born. So what are some of the things that she says? Well, she said that God will scatter those with false pride. She says that God would bring down the powerful from their thrones. She said that God would lift up the lonely. And she celebrated that God has filled the hungry and sent the rich away empty. There's no way we can look at this text, folks, and not understand that the birth of this child was about bringing in, ushering in a new world order, one in which the needs of all people, not just the powerful few, would be the focus, the attention. The Messiah was one who would point God's children in the ways of hope and of peace and of joy and of love. You see, what this song was saying is that the Son, Jesus, was not coming to protect the powerful, to let the status quo remain. Instead, the child to be born would head a realm in which the love of God and the love of each other would prevail. When we look at Mary's song, the Magnificat, we realize it is such a contrast to the world in which she lived, the world of empire. She lived in a world where Rome was in control, where the emperor was viewed as a god. She lived in a world where Herodian kings had been left in place to give some semblance of the people of Judah having a say in their destiny. But what she was saying in the song is that these people would be deposed. They would be taken away from their thrones. Think of how radical a statement that is. In fact, there are places in our world today where if one was to make a statement like that about the principalities and the powers, you'd probably be jailed. That's how radical this song was. In this song, Mary helped to usher in a new paradigm for a world that only understood struggle. While we hear the stories of the powerful, the history of them, most were struggling. Most could not find a place. Most lived in fear. And instead, what Mary was talking about is that a world would be created where the things that we celebrate during this season, hope and peace and joy and love, would be what would finally prevail. And the other thing we look at in this song of Mary's is that she chose a response that was somewhat unique to some of the calls we hear about in the biblical story. So many times when God called someone, all there would be was excuses for why I couldn't do it. Abram, Sarai, we're too old, we're never going to have children, it's something to laugh about, this is just outrageous. Moses, who tried to give every excuse imaginable when he was at that bush that burned and was never consumed, telling God, well, I don't speak well, I can't do this well, I can't do this well. Or the prophet Jeremiah saying, look, I'm only a kid, I can't take on your work. Instead, what do we have Mary saying? Nowhere does Luke recount her saying, I'm not sure I can do this. How about if you come back in a year, maybe we can deal with this a little better then? No, nowhere does it say that. What does it say? It says that Mary said, here I am. This young woman who was not a person of power chose to respond immediately to God's call in a way that we had not seen with many other people who were called by God. And I think there's a real message for us as we look at this Magnificat and as we look at Mary's response. Because like Mary, I believe we have a choice. We can choose. We can choose to be about the world, the work that creates the kind of world we hope to be a part of. If God's love, if God's joy, if God's peace, if God's hope is to ever prevail, it will be because that is our choice. We choose how we interact with the world and what we want that world to be. Are we going to choose the path of I have no potential or possibility to change anything? All I see is darkness ahead. Or do we choose that path of light? Do we look for that light? But we've been doing all this season of Advent looking for that light. We can choose. We can choose. The question, of course, is what will our choice be? Friends, as we prepare to finish this calendar year of 2016 and celebrate once again the birth of the Christ child in our midst and look forward to a new year, I believe more than ever God is putting choices in front of us. Will we choose to love God? Will we choose to love Jesus? Will we choose to love our neighbor? If our answer is yes, we will be about God's work. We will be working to usher in the Christmas message. We will be a part of that continuing song, Mary's Magnificat. This morning we have the opportunity to hear the Magnificat sung for us, really in the way these words should be presented. There are a lot of composers over the centuries who have set the Magnificat to music. Today we have an opportunity to hear Antonio Vivaldi's version of how he felt the Magnificat should sound. So I invite you now, as the chancel choir and as our chamber orchestra prepare to lift up the Magnificat to us, that we might look at the words. We might let the words overwhelm us, so that we might become part of Mary's song and part of the hope for the future of our world. So be it.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.